This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As we slouch toward November 3rd, the fear of organized political violence looms large. But how exactly do such vigilantes or militiamen, white nationalists, terrorists, call them what you will, organize, mobilize, and coordinate their activities? How can they be deterred? On The Media Reporter, Micah Loewinger revisits the communications app far-right groups use to fight the fight.
It looks like we are going into the fray tonight, so keep us in your prayers. I just left two voice messages, one from my father and one from my wife.
This is a militia member speaking on a walkie-talkie app called Zello.
If I should fall, I want to be remembered as a patriot. Let history show that I stood up against this tyranny. But I'm not going to fall because I'm a warrior and I'm going to kick some ass.
He was psyching himself up before a showdown with Antifa that never happened. I ran across many other violent fantasies like this while monitoring militia groups on Zello. But the app is better known for other things, like communication by overnight truckers, activists in Venezuela, and humanitarian aid efforts.
Basically, the way that it works is people join a chat room and you push a button to talk. And when you release the button and you're done talking, it cuts your mic again.
That's Hampton Stahl, an Atlanta-based researcher and founder of a blog called Militia Watch. We teamed up on this story when we learned we shared a strong interest in tracking far-right activity on Zello.
There's like a little bit of a fetishization of ham radio operation in the armed militia right. The difference between ham radio and Zello is that Zello allows for very fast audio communication between a pretty good amount of people across any distance, as long as people have connection to either wireless or cellular internet.
Another difference is that Zello records and saves everything that's said. Users can also set a password and decide who's allowed to talk. Some militias, we found, operate several Zello channels at the same time. One for interviewing new recruits, one for leaders to discuss operations, one for training in the woods, and another for sharing intel and small talk.
Any regular radio commands you would hear in the military are often replicated in militia use of walkie-talkie apps.
Yeah, solid copy. That intel you get.
Like solid copy.
Radio check.
Lima Charlie.
To an outsider hearing this kind of talk, it plays into a perception that it's a big LARP. You know, it's a big live-action role play. Grown men playing army.
But I think it kind of stops being LARP when the weapons are real.
In the past decade, people associated with far-right militias have plotted to bomb mosques, shot protesters, and kidnapped migrants at the southern border. We found a couple hundred such groups on Zello. Everything from Boogaloo Boys to Proud Boys to outright white nationalists. But the vast majority of such channels belong to 3%er militias. These groups have drawn the media spotlight this year by rallying behind a steady stream of culture war causes. There was the gun rally in Virginia known as Lobby Day.
Gun rights supporters gathered in huge numbers today in Richmond, Virginia. They're protesting a wave of gun control measures being proposed by the newly elected Democrat.
The COVID lockdown protests in Michigan.
As protesters moved into the Capitol building, Democratic State Senator Donya Polhanke posted this photo saying, "Directly above me, men with rifles yelling at us. Some of my colleagues who own bulletproof vests are wearing them."
The Black Lives Matter protests sparked by the murder of George Floyd.
Peaceful protests met by armed men and Confederate flags.
And conspiracy theories of Antifa infiltrating white suburbs.
Stay safe and lock and loaded. That's the warning in this Facebook post made Tuesday afternoon.
Police call it a false rumor that claimed Antifa had 3 busloads of members ready to hit neighborhoods in Maumelle.
It's an interesting situation that we find ourselves in where America is heavily armed, right?
Joan Donovan directs research at the Shorenstein Center on Media, Politics, and Public Policy at Harvard University.
And there are a lot of folks right now who have been socially isolated for a very long period of time and have been reaching out through social media because they don't know how to assess the risks posed by the pandemic, political environment that we're in, the heightened polarization.
The increased visibility of these armed groups, combined with the anxiety and anger about the news, drove prospective recruits to right-wing forums and Facebook groups, where militia guys shared passwords with step-by-step instructions about how to join their Zello channels.
And so you join the group, and then the officers will invite you for an interview. They'll ask you some questions about what area you're in, whatever sort of ideological requirements there are for joining said militia.
What interested you in the 3% movement? Were you heard about the 3%?
I was actually approached in conversation during a anti-protests of Antifa and BLM in Brandon, Mississippi.
Do all of you have the backing of your family? Do they know that you're on an interview tonight?
I'm the man of the house, so, you know, if I need to go somewhere or do something, that's going to happen.
To be clear, neither Hampton nor I ever pretended to be a militia guy or a potential recruit. We merely lurked in the background.
So what do you got? What kind of experience you got? Military, law enforcement, medical?
31 Bravo, military police. I know a lot about weapons, munitions, and a fair amount of gear.
It's like a second job. It's us or tyranny. It's us or failure. It's us or a post-American world. Don't give 2 shits or a flying about anybody that's less than 100% all the in. Are you all the in, over?
I ain't got nothing holding me back, Chris. If it kills me, it kills me.
And the ways in which those groups come together and do recruitment through platforms really has to do with them unapologetically believing that they can actually become a proxy for law enforcement.
Joan Donovan.
And so I think the continuous engagement with one another through social media has really normalized the notion of the vigilante.
Vigilantes, of course, are not law enforcement. They're not accountable to the public or trained to de-escalate violence. That's why some observers shudder at the thought of armed militias, say, standing guard at polling stations in November. Monitoring Zello, we did hear some references to violence surrounding the election, but it was about how to react to it.
We have to stay vigilant, stay well-trained, and maintain our composure so that we don't ever fire that first shot. That would kill us.
Yeah, roger that, sir. If we fire the first shot, we're done. I mean, the public view is turning around about us, and that's the way we need to keep it. We don't need to do anything to tarnish that.
They're fantasizing again, and oh, there's going to be all this, you know, riots in the streets. We got to be ready, guys. We got to be ready. But they're not talking about themselves going out there and doing it.
Megan Squire, a professor of computer science at Elon University, has been tracking discussions of the election from far-right groups online.
The whole vigilantism is couched in this language of protection, and that started in earnest with the reopen protests. Oh, I'm going to protect your business from the police who are trying to shut you down. And then it went to George Floyd. Oh, I'm going to protect you from the looters. And it's persisting now. Like, I'm going to protect Trump from election meddling. The idea that this vigilantism is justified from a protection standpoint, youch, that's terrifying. Because now they have a reason, right? And it's a reason that makes them look like a hero.
And then there's this growing body of evidence that some local police departments are enabling it. Hours before Kyle Rittenhouse shot 3 protesters, killing 2 in an alleged act of self-defense, he and the Kenosha Guard, a local militia, were thanked by law enforcement. They even offered the vigilantes bottles of water.
We appreciate you guys, we really do.
Rittenhouse provides a template for examining how violence might unfold in the coming months. Here was an armed vigilante who used social media to find other armed vigilantes. With the approval of law enforcement, they patrolled the streets looking for conflict. But Rittenhouse was overwhelmed when he found it, and so he shot his way out. For better or worse, police and social media play crucial roles in the likelihood of these scenarios recurring. Let's start with the cops. While listening to Zello, Hampton and I observed three times when militia members claimed they had coordinated with law enforcement. For example, one group, called the Georgia 3% Martyrs, expressed deep distrust of the police in their chat room, but claimed to have teamed up with them at a BLM protest south of Atlanta.
When Payne, Evo, J3, and myself rolled up at South Lake Mall and assisted the Morrow Police Department, we were in full battle rattle, and Payne even sighted in on somebody and they didn't mess with us.
The fact that the police are, you know, allegedly standing next to a militia member who is pointing a rifle and looking down his sights at said protester is highly troubling.
I was interested in this, so I reached out to a reporter named Robin Kemp, who wrote for a website that she started called the Clayton Crescent. She was there at South Lake Mall, and she sent me audio of the scene. Don't shoot! She walked with the protesters, about 150 of them.
Almost all African American people who were marching. There was no violence or vandalism or anything like that. It was like a very joyful, family-oriented feeling of people assembling for the march in the parking lot of the shopping mall on the weekend.
And it's time that we speak up, we stand up, and we let the world know that Black Lives Matter.
Amen. Was this like the only Black Lives Matter protest at the South Lake Mall over the summer?
Yeah, I think that was the only one.
She did not see very many police officers there, and she did not see any militia guys there. If this did happen, then the police and the militia were out of sight, off to the side.
It's very common for militias to either get on roofs or go around corners and just be staged nearby. There was a Black Lives Matter protest here in Atlanta back in 2016 that I attended, and as I was leaving and took a wrong turn in the parking garage and ended up on the roof, and two spaces over there was a Jeep with four men with rifles in their hands looking out over the protest. There's a lot of work that happens that isn't super visible.
It's worth noting, too, that Zello is just one app that militias use for organizing. So I wouldn't have access to their communication on, say, Telegram or Facebook chat. In a written statement, the Georgia 3% Martyrs denied that they were at this event. The Morrow Police Department did not respond to our request for comment. A month after the Morrow protest, I caught wind of another potential police-militia relationship in Georgia.
I got word from Douglas County Sheriff's Department today that they're supposed to have a protest in Douglas County over their monument and Civil War monuments. And they said within the next week, they may reach out and ask for assistance.
And if possible, we'll give it.
That's two guys from the 3% security force speaking on July 2nd. 1 week later, there was in fact a Black Lives Matter protest at the Civil War monument. But we're not sure the 3%ers ever showed up. The 3% security force militia denied that they had contact with the police. The Douglas County Sheriff's Department did not respond to our request for comment. The third example of alleged coordination between armed vigilantes and local police actually reveals a course of action for reducing violence in the future. It involves the Michigan Home Guard, a militia that made national news in May when it defended Carl Mankey, a barbershop owner who defied state lockdown measures by reopening his business.
Members of the Michigan militia say they will take action to keep Mankey from going to jail.
We are willing to stand in front of that door and block the entrance. So, yeah, the police will have no entry there today.
A few weeks later, word begins to spread that there's an upcoming Black Lives Matter protest in the works. A couple local politicians and at least a couple armed militias, including the Michigan Home Guard, are preparing to attend. Then Livingston County Sheriff Michael Murphy posts this video to his department's Facebook page.
So here's the deal. I've had personal conversation with Rob from 2A, Mike Detmer, and former Sheriff Bob Bazat. I asked both to stand down, to not show up tomorrow. Let me tell you a little story. Back in the mid-90s, there was a KKK rally held on the steps of the old courthouse. That was the biggest non-event that this county has ever seen. The community really banded together, and had other activities to do. A handful of people, maybe 20 at the most, showed up for the KKK to do their thing. They realized that they didn't get the reaction that they were looking for. They packed up and left. So it was a beautiful thing. That said, my plea is, if you just stay away, there's no stage for anybody to make this thing go sideways.
That's fascinating.
Isn't that fascinating?
I hadn't seen that.
I think it's a little problematic to like compare the KKK to Black Lives Matter protesters, but I understand the point that he was trying to make, which is that showing up in force in response to something could have the effect of pouring gasoline on the fire.
Yeah, and Michigan has an extensive history with right-wing militias. Referring to these militia as the 2A community is laundering that history through something that is deemed a little bit more politically neutral, a constitutional amendment.
That's a good point. And as I listened to the Michigan Home Guard on Zello kind of making sense of the message from the sheriff, there was some frustration and anger, and I would also say confusion.
So Livingston County Sheriff there requested Michigan Home Guard and other vetted militia groups to come and help him with extra security, and then later came out publicly and said he did not do that. He does not want any 2A people there, and then stay away.
There was a rumor that spread in the Michigan Home Guard Zello group that even after he made that video, he secretly said, no, Michigan Home Guard should come.
No, I still want you there. I just want you to stand back and make sure nobody sees you, more or less.
I still want them to come. I basically just want them to keep a low profile.
Well, that's not shady at all.
Pardon me, but that's bull. And, you know, he should have just kept his mouth shut.
The next day, the sheriff posted to Facebook denying this rumor. And again, there's a lot about what happened behind the scenes that we can't verify. But by addressing the militias publicly, asking these groups to not show up, the sheriff seemed to at least annoy them enough to the point that they decided not to go.
Yeah, RLT gave us an official stand down on the Livingston thing.
Sheriff Michael Murphy denied that he was in contact with the militia. The Michigan Home Guard did not respond to our request for comment. We couldn't get a complete picture of what happened in any of these examples, but the tapes demonstrate that local law enforcement wield a ton of influence over local militia activity. The police may either ignore, condone, invite it, or effectively tamp it down. Social media companies face a similar choice. This summer, Facebook deleted thousands of militia pages. Twitter also booted a bunch of militia accounts, as did Discord, a smaller app that has long incubated far-right groups.
We were very concerned about Discord during the rise of the alt-right because Discord was a minor app, and it really wasn't able to understand enough about what was happening on its platform because they would see, oh, you know, it's just 13 people. And that ends up being like Adam Waffen, right? It was a group of people that are coordinating violence.
In the name of white supremacy.
Exactly. And so Zello has to have a procedure and a policy and enforcement mechanisms where they do not tolerate this kind of behavior. Unless it's the business model.
You'd think it would be hard for Zello Corporate to miss what's happening on their own platform if Hampton and I alone could locate 200 far-right groups ranging from Oath Keepers to straight-up Nazis. According to Zello's own terms of service, the app can remove anything that, quote, represents promotion of, celebration with, violent extremist ideologies, groups, and tactics. We reached out to the company asking how it was enforcing its terms of service. In a written statement, Zello told us that the company, quote, allows speech protected by the U.S. Constitution and law. Late in our reporting process, we spoke with an employee from Zello, who asked to remain anonymous. The employee sent us a company-wide email from June that detailed some of the militia and white nationalist activity on the app. The employee said that in a subsequent company-wide meeting, Zello CEO Bill Moore said, essentially, that because the platform was not legally responsible for any harm caused by those far-right groups, it would not kick them off the site. Nor would Zello implement new moderation practices to deter this type of organizing in the future. Zello responded to us saying that, quote, the employee's characterization is inaccurate and misleading, end quote. The company confirmed that the most concrete actions to come out of its internal review were to, one, de-index all pages of user-generated content, which includes the far-right stuff, from search engines. So now, when you Google Zello 3% or Zello Nazi, those channels don't show up. But you can still find them by searching on Zello. And two, Zello removed a trending channels feature that may have amplified hate groups. For Zello's full response, go to onthemedia.org. From now until November 3rd, at least, we'll be concerned about the potential for violence around the election. Researcher Megan Squire says her phone has been off the hook.
Probably five times today, different reporters, five times yesterday, every single day. That's the question that I'm getting.
No one knows the answer. But too much blood has been shed already for any police department or online platform to pretend there was nothing they could have done to help stop it. For On the Media, I'm Michael Loewinger.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media is produced by Alana Casanova-Burgess, Michael Loewinger, Leah Fetter, John Hanrahan, and Eloise Blondio, with help from Ava Sasani. And our show was edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineers this week were Adrian Lilly and Josh Hahn.
Katya Rogers is our executive producer. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.